Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Again, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd from the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. My, it's hard to believe that it's already Friday. This broadcast is for Friday, August the 14th, and so we're finishing up another week of broadcasting on WSOF, WAJJ Radio. We're glad you're tuned in and listening. I appreciate the kind remarks that we've received in the previous days and recent days of those that have listened and been helped. I'm going to tell you the last few broadcasts in particular dealing with this temptation to make things easier in our life, this temptation to not trust God, but rather look for a better way out or a more satisfactory way for ourselves than the struggles and the storms that God sometimes allows to come our way. This teaching has been a real blessing to me and a help. Now, I know that you have to preach what you live, and you have to live what you preach. And so I know that already I've seen it, that in dealing with this temptation and thinking about the battles with Satan, I've had to face those. Even in recent days, I've had to face those. And I know I will again. And so I'm preparing myself and asking God to give me strength and help me maintain a strong faith in the Lord. I'd like to ask you to help me do the same. Well, I'm not here in person today. Of course, I'm actually in the state of Virginia by the time this broadcast plays. I left out yesterday and got there to Virginia. And our daughter, Hannah, is preparing to have a child on the 17th of August, which is just this coming Monday. They're going to take it. Little Alora is turned breech. Aria, our first granddaughter, was born breech and had some problems because of that. Hannah had problems and the child had problems, and they had to take it or take her, and she had, you know, went through some different difficulties with that. Well, now this one's breech as well, and so they're planning to take it, and they're planning on keeping her some extra days and all the things that goes along with that. I'd like for you to help us pray for our daughter, Hannah, our little granddaughter, Aria, our son-in-law, Drew, and our newly born, will be on Monday, newly born granddaughter, Alora. Amen. We're looking forward to welcoming her into the world and into the family. And I've only got the one grandchild. I know how much I love her, and I'm already anticipating just multiplying it again and again and again. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's a blessing. It's a blessing of the Lord. People say, well, how can you give life in this culture of death? In these dark days, why would you have children? Well, first of all, it's because God said that. That was the command of God. God said, go forth and multiply. God said, this is what he said, I will, by the way, let me back up. God said, go forth and multiply. That's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, God said, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. So it's still God's will for ladies to give birth to children. Married ladies, of course. It is God's will that couples produce children. That's God's will. Now, that's one reason why this Supreme Court issued acceptance of gay marriage is not scriptural, is not right, because they don't produce children. They don't produce anything but more confusion and more perversion and more death. And I'm not angry at them. I'm trying to reach them. I'm trying to warn them that they're headed down the wrong road, but God's made the right way. But get back to this thing. How can you have children? Well, God commanded it. Secondly, I trust God. I believe God. God didn't say have children unless it gets hard. God didn't say have children unless the devil roars, because the devil's been roaring ever since the Garden of Eden. Amen. I mean, just shortly after the serpent beguiled Eve, God said to Adam and Eve, go forth and multiply. Amen. Just shortly after the world had been destroyed by the flood and God had brought judgment on the wickedness of men, Noah and his boys and their wives got off the ark, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Amen. I'm telling you, it's never too dark to obey God. It's never too dark to trust God. And so we trust God with life. And I just believe that's right and correct. And you can raise them for the glory of God. I know there'll be difficulties. I know there'll be storms. There'll be troubles. I recognize that. I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture. I'm not living with wearing rose-colored glasses, as they say. I'm not living in a fantasy world. But I am a Bible believer. I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got confidence that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I've got confidence that we can overcome through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So if you will, pray for us as we're gone there. Now, the Lord's Day is coming up just a couple of days from now. I'd like to invite you to come and meet with the folks here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. I'll be absent. I will be there in Virginia. I'll be preaching at the Bluestone Baptist Church in Clarksville, Virginia. But Brother Gary Hall will be filling in for us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Brother Hall, I'm trusting, will bring a good message. I've never heard him when he didn't give you something to feed on. Amen. Something for your soul. And I'm trusting he'll do that this Sunday morning. I want you to pray for him. And if you can, come and be in the services. Then on Sunday night, Brother Doug Bell will be preaching Sunday night and Wednesday night, again in our absence, but he'll be preaching. And so you come out and back him and listen to him and pray for him. Amen. And if you can be a part of the services, oh, we'd be honored to have you. The church here would make you welcome, I'm sure, and be glad that you was here. So if you could do that, we want to invite you to come out and be with us. And then also, we're having special services August 26th through 30th. That's our missions revival. Brother Stennett Ballou will be preaching every night. We'll be calling preachers from the floor alongside of him at night and also in the day, several different preachers. We've got missionaries, evangelists, and pastors lined up to be here. And as I've said, it's a missions conference with a camp meeting spirit. We call it Missions Revival. So if you can come be with us, that is Wednesday the 26th through Sunday the 30th. And then the next Thursday, which would be on September the 3rd, I believe it is, we're going to start Radio Marathon here at WSOF and WAJJ. Radio Marathon, September the 3rd through the 5th. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We'll be making announcements about that, and I'd like to get you to come and be a part of those services. And so I'm part of that, even that marathon. Call in, listen in, tune in, amen, and hopefully be a help with us. So help us pray that God bless our finances and meet the needs up till then, and God bless in these special services I've mentioned. Now also, I want you to pray with me about this broadcast, because this is not just wasting time. This is sowing forth a good seed, and I want to see God do great and mighty things with His Word. I believe He does. I believe He'll do it every time, but especially when we ask and when we believe. So I want you to ask with me and expect God to do great and mighty things. If you will, pray. Pray with us as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to tell You, first of all, I love You. Thank You for saving me. I want to thank You for bringing me up out of that horrible pit, for hearing me when I called upon You. I want to thank You, Lord, first of all, for letting me hear the gospel, letting me know that it was the truth. You spoke to my heart, and I knew that it was truth. The Holy Spirit sealed it in my heart that it was so. The Holy Spirit convicted me of my sins, convinced me I was a sinner and headed to hell. I was condemned by the Word of God. But the same Holy Spirit pointed me to Calvary and showed me my darling Savior hanging in my place, suffering where I should have suffered, paying the debt I couldn't pay. And I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to thank You, Lord, for that wonderful day, for the fact that I'm saved by the grace of God today. Father, I pray for others out there that are listening, that the Spirit of God do the same for them. Dear God, that You'd convict them of their sin, show them they're condemned already. And dear God, I pray, point them to Calvary, where they can be saved by trusting in the crucified one, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He shed His blood for their sins, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world, and that they can believe and be saved by the grace of God. Help them to have faith to believe and a will to repent and turn to God. And Lord, I pray You'd get the glory. Father, I pray about these upcoming services that we mentioned. Bless Brother Hall, strengthen him, and use him on the Lord's Day, this 16th of August. Father, I pray, bless and use Brother Bell on that Lord's Day night at the 6:30 p.m. service here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Also on the Wednesday 7 o'clock p.m. service here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Bless and use Brother Bell. Father, I pray You'd bless the radio station, the work of God here, WSOF, WAJJ. I pray You'd bless both these stations. Lord, You'd provide for our finances and our needs. these. Bless the workers, strengthen them, and use them, dear God, for your glory. Father, I pray you'd bless the upcoming missions revival and the upcoming radio marathon. Have your way in all that. Father, I pray meet the needs of these unspoken requests, these burdens that our friends have told us about and shared with us and asked us to pray with them about. Father, I pray for direction for those that are looking for direction. I pray, dear God, that you'd help those that are headed in the wrong direction to recognize that and turn around and get right with God. Help them, dear God, to swallow their pride, repent of their sin, and come clean with God. And I know, Lord, you will forgive. There is forgiveness. You're willing to forgive if they'll come to you in faith and repentance. Father, I pray now, again, take this broadcast, use it for your glory. And, Lord, I pray help Hannah as she delivers child on this Monday. And, Lord, I pray bless little Laura to come in safely to the world and use her and her family for the glory of God. I ask and pray in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us, and I hope that you'll stay tuned. We're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter number 4, verses 1 through 3 again here in just a moment. And then we're going to have a song right before we get into the Word of God. So if you want to be turning, while you're turning to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we'll listen to this good song. Well, all right, I hope you will worship the Lord. That's what we've met for, not just when we meet in the house of God, but when we gather around the radio mic. I believe it's just right to worship the Lord. Amen. Well, I want to begin looking today in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. We're looking at the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. And we've been dealing with this thing, I think this makes about 6 weeks now, that we've been dealing with this thought. And we're on the first temptation, saying some things about that and dealing with this first temptation. Look at verse number 1. The Bible said, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Verse number 3, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now, I started, just touched on the last minute of my broadcast on yesterday, this new section of our study. I'm calling it the battlefield of the temptation. Now, I mentioned earlier in the study that some questioned whether or not this meeting with Satan was actually real or only imaginary. Whether it just happened in the mind of Christ, or if it actually happened. And I gave reasons why I believe that it had to be a reality, not only a dream or a vision, but a reality. However, I'd like to point out that this battle was not so much for the flesh of our Lord, that is, to destroy or harm his body, but rather that it was for his soul. You see, the battle was for the heart of the Lord Jesus. The heart is the battlefield on which Satan fights. Amen. That's true of every man as well. Satan is not satisfied to gain our body. He wants our heart and he wants our soul. And he battles for our heart. Are you listening? I mentioned that there are those that Satan has convinced to mark up their body, marring their body with so much ink and many times vulgarity, obscenities, profane things, even pornographic things that they paint on their body and in their body, and it's a permanent marking that it's going to take much in order to cover up or to get going away. The devil loves that, and we see it more and more and more and more in this day, but he's not satisfied with your body being marked and marred. He's not satisfied with your body being pierced and all these things, you know, coming out of it and being mutilated. Your body, he loves that, but that's not good enough for him. He's not just happy with you flaunting your body, with you revealing your body, with you maybe wearing clothing or not wearing clothing, but doing in such a way that you're revealing your body. He loves that, but he's not satisfied with that. He is not satisfied until he gets your heart, until he gets your soul, and he wants to doom you and damn you to hell. Well, he's working on Christ, and he was in that working on Christ. He could not doom Christ to hell, but if Christ had failed to be the Son of God that he was, to be the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, then he could not be the sacrifice that we needed and that the law required, and therefore we would be eternally damned to a devil's hell. Now, when I say that Satan was working for the heart of Christ, that is not to say that our Lord Jesus harbored these temptations within his heart. No. But it is to say that Satan threw his fiery darts of evil thoughts and impressions at the heart of our Savior. Of course, our Savior deflected all them with the shield of faith. Amen. Our Savior deflected all those with the breastplate of righteousness, which these things perfectly shielded our Lord and will shield us. And I ended the program on yesterday by saying, be sure to take unto you the breastplate of righteousness. Be sure to take unto you, above all, the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, is what the King James Bible said in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm glad that's so. Now, I want to mention some things about this battlefield, the heart in which the devil is trying to bring these temptations. There was a man years ago by the name of David Thomas. He was an English preacher. He lived in 1813 to 1894. He published a book entitled The Genius of the Gospel, a homiletical commentary of the Gospel of Matthew. It was published in 1873. In those notes, he says that there are three impulses in our heart that Satan appeals to respectively in order to dethrone God and in order to corrupt our duty towards Him. Three specific impulses. He mentions these three instincts. They are appetite, ambition, and avarice. I'm going to say that again. They are appetite, ambition, and avarice. These three agree specifically, exactly, with the Apostle John's terms in 1 John 2:16 when he talks about these sins. He says, the lust of the flesh, that's appetite. The lust of the eyes, that's ambition. And avarice is the pride of life. Now, we don't use the word avarice much, so let me say, give you just an illustration about what that is. Avarice is covetousness. Avarice is wanting to have. I'll say it this way very briefly. Appetite is the will to survive, the drive to survive. Ambition is the will to succeed or the drive to succeed. Avarice is the will to attain. It is the desire to possess things. Amen. Now, I'm not going to deal with these three. I believe these three are the three temptations Satan used on Christ. We're dealing with the first one. He said, command these stones to be made bread. If thou be the Son of God, he said, command that these stones be made bread. So he's dealing with the appetite that our Lord had. He deals with our appetite. Now, I'll say this. The appetite is the most human and perhaps most powerful of all impulses. Appetite or hunger is the craving of the physical nature, not merely for gratification, but for life. Not just what we want. It's not just that we want food, but we actually need it. We actually must have food. Now, there are some foods that are good for us that we may not want. That's because we're dealing then with not just the appetite, the desire to survive, but we're dealing with the ambition to survive and with the avarice, the covetousness of it. So all those get tied up together in that. But there is a drive to survive. When you get hungry, you'll eat shoe leather if you have to. Amen. If you get hungry, there's a time in the Bible where they were eating pigeon's dung. There was a time in the Bible they was eating a donkey's head. Amen. And I like what Brother Stennett Blue said about that. He said, when I read that scripture about how those people were so hungry that they were eating a donkey's head, or they were eating pigeon's dung, or they were boiling their own children to eat their own children, he said, I want to thank God that I have never been hungry. I come to the realization there's never been a day in my life that I have actually been hungry. I thought I was hungry. I may say, I'm hungry. I'm getting hungry. We say that. We're not really hungry. There's a little need. There's a little desire. But when you get to that point that you're starving, that's the idea of the hunger and the appetite. So there's the appeal of the physical nature, not merely for gratification, but for survival. It is the drive to survive. Our mortal existence is dependent upon us eating, upon us obtaining food, upon our appetite. Now, this is not to deny that the Lord Jesus did have the power and he had the ability to command the stones to be made bread. He had the power. He had the ability, but I don't believe he had the right. He came to do the will of the Father. He said, I do always those things which please the Father. He came to do the Father's will. He said, I don't come of my own, but I do the works of Him that sent me. Well, His appetite would have been His own, right? If he had commanded those stones to be made bread, it would have been his own will. Can I tell you, I'll get deviate here just a moment, but the working of the devil is to get us to put our will above the will of the Father. Jesus Christ, all through his ministry, all through his life, I don't think he even struggled with it. He just did what was right. He placed his will on a lower rung. He humbled himself and became obedient. Amen. He was obedient unto the Father. When you sin, you are being disobedient. You know what you're doing? You're putting your will above God's will. That's right. If you steal, it's because you want something. Your will supersedes God's will when God said you got to work to get it. When God said that he'll provide all your needs, you trust him, he'll give you what you need. If you don't have it, you must not need it like you think you do. I believe that's right. And I say, oh, me, because many times I get my own priorities mixed up in that, as well as I'm sure you do. But if there's a lot of different things that you could talk about, that sin is us placing our will above God's will. When we say, well, you know, I know the Bible says that you ought not drink alcohol, but my friends are doing it, and I want to fit in, and so you go along with your friends, you go along with the crowd, and numerous things, the way you dress. Now, I know the Bible says to dress modestly, but my friends are all dressing like this, and I don't want to look square. I don't want to not fit in. I want to be popular. I want to be fashionable. And so you got all these excuses to put your will above the will of the Father. Amen. You're saying, in effect, you're saying, nevertheless, Father, not thy will, but mine be done. That is the opposite of the Spirit of Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Jesus had the divine power in which he could have commanded these stones to be made bread, but he did not use that power for himself. He used it to benefit others, and he used it as a sign to others. If he had used it to provide for himself, if he had used it as a sign for the devil, he'd have been obeying his own will rather than the will of the Father. I say this temptation was to give up his determination to do right, that he might feed his nagging hunger, but Christ refused it, and you and I can as well. God bless you. Hope you have a great weekend, and tune in at 5:05 on Monday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast.